We get things rolling in this second hour of the show by talking music with writer Colin Fleming and a little something right here from Little Walter. That was the first single released by Little Walter, and it went to number one on the R&B charts in 1952. It stayed there for 8 weeks. To learn more about him, we're joined by our friend Colin Fleming this afternoon. Hello, Colin.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm great. How are you today, sir?
Okay. Our man Little Walter there with the Juke from the early 1950s, and it came out on the only album released, actually, during his lifetime, Greatest Hits compilation, in 1958, which is just one of the best. It's kind of like this interesting argument you come out, like the best Greatest Hits albums of all time. Like, Dylan's first one was really good. Little Walter's is right up there, too. And he died 50 years ago in February of 1968, and he was just this wonderful harmonica virtuoso, and no one really thought the harmonica could be a lead instrument, basically, at the time.
Well, he proved him wrong. 14 top 10 hits on the R&B chart between 1952 and 1958. And I was reading, too, that what he did was to, on a lot of those singles, would do the instrumental on one side and then a vocal performance on the other side.
Yeah, that was his recipe for single success, because we have to remember now that this was not an album age, the 1950s, so you were going for him, you were gunning for things like that top spot on the rhythm and blues chart, like you mentioned, and Little Walter had come up through Louisiana, and he did what so many musicians did, often a lot of times jazz musicians, but in this case, a blues musician, and he ended up in Chicago, and when he was in Chicago, he became friends with Willie Dixon, he joined Muddy Waters Band, and he was playing acoustic harmonica, but he would be out at shows, and he'd be like, you know what, this guitar is a lot louder than my harmonica, and I don't think that's maybe the coolest thing ever. So he would basically plug into the house PA, not electrocute himself, and the guitarist would be like, whoa, what's happening here? And he's like, yeah, that's right, that's my harmonica, pretty kick-ass, right? And so he transitioned this approach to the studio, and one of the things I love about Little Walter is he's one of those musicians where he blurs all kinds of lines. He's like Jimi Hendrix in a sense. Like, if you listen to Jimi Hendrix play electric guitar, you don't really want to call it like psychedelic rock. You don't really want to call it blues rock. You don't really want to call it heavy metal. It's kind of Baroque popular music almost. It has classical elements. It crosses that line. When you listen to Charlie Parker play alto sax, it's acoustic, but there's an electric quality to the way he plays, and it crosses that line. Well, Little Walter also crossed that line with what he was doing with the harmonica, which was kind of like a gut bucket instrument, and there was an instrument also that kids play, right? And even now, still, you'll hear someone tooting away on a harmonica. He elevated it to this kind of like Paganini-like level of virtuosity, which no one had done, and I don't really think anyone has come quite to the level that he got to since.
Do you think that his work, Colin, his success, inspired those people, Dylan being one, who made the harmonica part of their repertoire in the folk scene and the rock scene in the 1960s?
Dylan used the harmonica for a lot of accentuation rather than as a kind of like lead chromatic instrument like Little Walter was doing. And Dylan was actually a very good harmonica player in his prime. Like, if you listen to his live recordings from 1966, he uses the harmonica as another voice. He uses it during the folk material as kind of like a punctuating device. But later, when he gets on stage in Europe with the Hawks, who of course were the band, He's using it as these extended codas at the close of songs, and it really takes into this kind of swirling psychedelia sort of realm. But in terms of Little Walter, it was more the British bands. It was more someone like Keith Relf in the Yardbirds. Now, Relf had asthma, and you wouldn't think someone with asthma could be a virtuosic harmonica player, but he was a great one, maybe the best of the British Invasion, really. And I think that's where you hear a lot of it. But it's also the drive and the kick of those Little Walter songs. Like when we play Juke Bear, you kind of want to get up and start moving around to it. It's intense rhythm and blues. And at the same time, that's an instrumental, but he was a great singer in the way that kind of Hendrix was a great singer. We don't think of Hendrix as being a great singer, but he could have been when he wanted to be. And Little Walter was the same way, and he would use his voice to sort of counterpoint his harmonica work.
And did I read correctly, Colin, that there is only one known video of him performing live?
Yeah, there's not much. There's never much of, like, people of that ilk. For instance, like Little Willie John, right? Great singer. We've talked about him. And there's like just some video from an episode of Route 66 of all things. So it's almost like happenstance when video does exist. And it's not prime Walter. It's from the very end of his life. And he was an alcoholic. He died of a heart condition, like this thrombosis being the technical term. And he was like, speaking of kind of being asthmatic, at the end of his career, and you listen to like this, these live recordings he made from 1967, he sounds like me with a cold honking away on the harmonic. It's just, it's not there. It's like he's playing off of one lung, it sounds like. So that's what the video footage is from, kind of that era. It's not him out with his backing band, cleverly called the Jukes. They were a great band. Fred Bello was the drummer. He's one of the greatest blues drummers ever. It's not like prime Little Walter from 1959 or something like that. It's from the tail end of his career. And it's sort of weird to even think of him being around in 1967 with everything happening. And you have this rootsy, organic sound, which was not really consistent with what was happening at the time.
And he may not be as well known as some of his contemporaries, but at least in terms of chart success, he did better than a whole lot of his colleagues on Chess.
He did. He used a lot of Willie Dixon songs, and Willie Dixon could write just a mean blues. Like, he was so accomplished a writer. But once Little Walter found that formula of that kind of groove, that harmonica-laden groove, and then the virtuosity, he was going to be able to take that as far as he wanted to. Now, like, there's a kind of primalcy to a lot of those blues artists. Like, if you listen to Howlin' Wolf, certainly it sounds like a sound that has existed for all time. Walter had more finesse. They couldn't go to the places he went to as a player. In fact, if we're talking blues, if you want to discount maybe Robert Johnson on his guitar, Little Walter is the single best performer on an instrument in the history of the blues. I mean, he is that good at what he did that it really is like Charlie Parker, Hendrix, Svitzlaf Richter type of territory in terms of accomplishment.
For people who want to discover him, can they still get their hands on some version of that Greatest Hits album?
Yeah, there's always some version of that Greatest Hits album out there. There is, for a fortune, the complete Chess recordings that came out in 2009 on Hippo Select label. And you see that on like eBay or whatnot, and that's going to be for the completest. But there are two excellent Greatest Hits albums. It's the one from 58, and then it had like a follow-up after, which is every bit as good. Don't be tricked with those kind of like combination type things, because the compilers knew what they were doing when they assembled those original records.
We're talking with Colin Fleming about Little Walter here on Downtown. How you feeling, friend? You still sound like you're battling that thing you've got.
Yeah, you know that like green blobular guy from the commercials who's shaped like Grimace, and except he's made out of mucus?
Yes.
I'm battling that fellow a lot lately. I have to get all mentholated up in the cough drops just to be able to talk, and it's not where I want to be in terms of, I like to feel like a Zulu warrior and run and climb the monument, and I'm more just kind of like an ineffectual old man right now.
Welcome to my world. Every day. Colin Fleming with us here on Downtown. Check out Colin's work at, of course, his wonderful website, colinfleminglit.com. Hope you're feeling better soon, my friend. We'll check in with you next week.
All right. Sounds good.